It is a privilege to be back here. My wife could not be. She's with jet lag. As a matter of fact, I think Anne sent me an email and also a text message for me to send the title and the text of this message. And I replied her when I was flying over the Atlantic Ocean. And she didn't know that I could text in the plane coming back from the Netherlands, where I was with my wife just helping my father and my mother-in-law. She had a surgery in October. She's 87, and he'll be 93 this coming 23rd. And the children are coming from all over the world to stay for a few weeks with them helping, and that was our turn. But while I was there, I was also preaching in the Netherlands. And therefore, it's a great privilege. My wife is praying for us. And let me say what I said when I came here in 2018. I am not here to preach. And now you can look at me and say, what are you doing in the pulpit? Let me explain. Today is the Lord's Day. I never go anywhere just to preach. I'm here to worship the Lord together with y'all. And I'm going to preach because I'm a preacher. I don't go anywhere just to preach. I came here to be with God's people in the Lord's Day, to worship and to preach and to participate in the Lord's prayer, in the Lord's table. Now, I would like and I want you to open God's infallible, inerrant, invincible, inspired, sufficient and efficient, the only Holy Spirit written Word of God in the world. And I'd like you to open that Word reverently in 1 Peter chapter 2. The last time I was here, I preached on 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 to 25, as you remember. Of course not. And today I'm going to continue on 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. And today, especially because we have the Lord's Supper, and we are going to experience the two means of grace as we have already experienced here as we worship together with God's people. And as we read God's Word, which is the means of grace that we have, and as we pray as we have prayed, as another means of grace. And as we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, which is a tremendous means of grace, when we are going to gather as God's people to eat from His bread and to drink from His body, from His blood. And this is a very special moment, and I don't take these things at all for granted. You cannot imagine the joy in my heart just being here, singing together with you all, praying together with you all, reading the Bible together with you all, preaching to you and to myself, and participating in the Lord's Supper. And therefore, I know that you use the ESV. I'm going to read from the ESV, but I'm going to use my New King James, if you don't mind. Then I'm going to read from the ESV, and I'm going to preach from the paper here. Listen to the Word of God, brothers and sisters. So, put away all malice. Put away all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Undress yourselves from these things. Get rid of. But now, listen to the passage for this morning. Like newborn infants, long for, or as you put here, crave for, desire intensively for the pure spiritual milk. So that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So far, the reading of God's word. Father, please open our eyes to see what otherwise we cannot see. Open our mind to understand what otherwise we cannot understand. Open our hearts to believe what otherwise we cannot believe. And move our lives to do what otherwise we cannot do. May the meditation of our hearts right now, and especially, O Father, the words of my mouth be pleasing to you. I pray in the name of Jesus, for the sake of your glory, the edification of your people, and the motivation for us to tell others who are still lost across the street and around the world, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, keep your Bibles open in 1 Peter chapter 2. And this morning, I have just one question based on this particular passage. I hope that you remember that Peter wrote this letter to many churches. And as a matter of fact, if you have your Bibles, go just back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. He's writing to us. He says this, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims, I love it, to people who are in this world and know that they are not part of this world, although this world is real. Hebrews 11, these are people who are on their way home. And he says this, of the dispersion, people are spread. Some of them under persecution. But then he says, dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. These are not cities. These are regions. And what is the point here? The point is Peter is writing this letter to many churches, to probably thousands of believers, and in the place that Paul was their pastor. Did you get it? Who planted the church in Asia, in Ephesus, and all these places? Paul, who ministered in Pontus and Galatia. Paul. And the first thing I really would like you to call your attention to the ministry of Peter. I don't know whether I'm going to finish this message today, but that's okay. If God gives me an opportunity, I'll come and continue. But I would like you to understand, when Peter wrote this letter, he wrote this letter to church that Paul planted. As a matter of fact, to church that knew the writings of Paul, as he mentioned by the end of this letter. My friend, if you study the New Testament in slow motion, read your Bible every single day in slow motion. Seeing it, feeling it, savoring it, thinking through, praying. You know, if you read the New Testament quickly, you're going to see there at least many preachers, but they're the four most outstanding preachers in the New Testament. You know who are they? The four most outstanding preachers in the New Testament. John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, Peter and Paul. And Peter writes this letter to God's people spread, to the church that Paul planted. And one of the things that he's calling attention here is this, for them to remember and to remind themselves in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, that I'm writing to you as elect people, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. In other words, we are in dispersion, we are everywhere, and some under persecution, some under the fear of the pandemics. But he says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that you are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Secondly, in sanctification of the Spirit. Thirdly, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are covered with the whole Trinity. But he wants us to keep in mind something. That in the midst of all these things, one thing that we have to keep in mind is that we have been saved. And that's what I preached in 2018. That's the first part of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. It says, I want you to know that you have been saved by the regenerating power of the Word of God. And the evidence of your salvation should be seen. First, you know that you have been purified. Your souls have been purified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that. Your sins have been forgiven. There's an evidence that you know you're saved. Secondly, you want to obey the truth. In other words, you want to grow in that sanctification. And third, you love one another. That's what I preached to you in 2018. But then my point today is this. He comes and he continues to speak about the power of this word as the means of grace, not only to save you, to bring you new life, but to keep you growing. And that's my point for this morning. Go back and look, chapter 2, verse 1 to 3 again. It said, knowing that you have been saved, and these people have been saved for many years. It says, brother, throw malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking or slandering among yourselves. But I want you to keep in mind and be doing something without which you cannot grow. And you know what it is? Is that this power has, this word has not only the power to transform you, to regenerate you, but it's the only word that will keep you growing. We need to grow. And now let me call your attention to these statements of Peter here. And the first thing I'd like to keep in mind is that you find an imperative here, which is not optional for God's people. It is a command. And listen, the first is this. He says this. Desire the pure milk of the word. And the verb here is in the imperative. It is not optional for us. We cannot be passive. And the word for desire here, my friend, is like, as you have translated here, is an intensive desire. Something that you cannot live without. Something that brings you great joy and great pleasure. And you want it. If you're going to put in another word, it's like Peter say, be addicted to my word. If I want to use a very strong statement here based on this verb that he's using, he would say, be addicted. Desire the pure milk of the word. Let me ask a question this morning. When you wake up in the morning, what is the greatest desire that you have? A hot coffee? Some bacon? Check the news? Answer the emails? check their Facebook. Is that the greatest joy that you have when you wake up in the morning? What Peter is telling here is that if there is something that you should desire above all things, is to hear God in the morning. Immediately, desire the pure milk of the Word. Crave for it. I know that ESV put the spiritual milk. But the word spiritual there is the same word that you find three or four times in the preceding verse when he says this. When he says, have been born again, not corruptible seed, but through the word of God. Logikon. You don't need to learn no Greek. But the word here is logikon. The word. You have been regenerated by the word of God. And he says more. That all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls away. But the word of God, the logikon of God, endures forever. And he says, and this is the word, the logikon. And right after here he says, desire the pure milk of the word. It says spiritual milk, milk of the word. And I know the translation put spiritual milk because it sounds so awkward when you say desire the pure milk of the word. Milk of the word. It makes, no, that's not something. It's spiritual. But the word is spiritual, is the word. Desire. Now, my friend, let me tell you. Unfortunately, and in my pilgrimage through this world, and especially talking with young people and not so young people as well, if there was lacking in the among God's people today is a great desire for this word. For the intake of this word. And there is no other way for us to grow up without the word. And we are living today, my friend, throughout the world, among God's people, unfortunately, there is a pandemic that is worse than COVID-19. There is anorexic people in the church because they don't spend time daily feeding themselves from the word. And there is no other way for us to grow without spending time intensively, systematically, thoughtfully on this word. There is no other way. And Peter is going to tell you here, there is no other way for us to grow. And when I see even my grandchildren, and by the way, my wife and I, we have 10 grandchildren, one great-grandchild, you're getting old. And when I begin to see that some of them spend more time, the young people today, and even some of us maybe, spending hours every single day with Instagram and Facebook and WhatsApp, and other things. And zero intake of God's word. Have you realized that just desiring the word of God, not spending time with the word of God, is sinful? Goes against the commandment of God. It's not amazing that God commands us for something that would be great for us. God does not want us just to read. God wants us to desire it. Do you desire it? When you approach in the morning, you wake up and say, Lord, I cannot wait to come and put my eyes on your word that I'm reading in slow motion every single day, book of the Bible, and in meditation, oh Lord, I'm looking forward. Is that your attitude? Is that my attitude? It amazes me that
Peter even used that verb desire. Like, tell my children, desire the word. Can you imagine? Tell someone, desire to eat. But that's what Peter is telling us. Desire to eat. It's like you wake up with such an appetite. You are not sick. People sick, they don't want to eat. If someone does not have that desire for the word of God, he is spiritually or she is spiritually sick. And the only way to correct that is go back to eat it from the word, my friend. You don't want, just go for it. Just because God told you so. Make a statement. Make a commit with the Lord. Lord, I'm going today. I have not been spending time in your word for so long. Maybe I read one verse or one psalm here and there. But Lord, I want to be fed. And even if you don't, well, just go because the Bible says desire. Go for it. And you're going to see that the Holy Spirit will bring back that desire that you lost. Desire the pure milk of the Word. Now, you keep your Bibles in 1 Peter. Just go back to Philippians. The Apostle Paul writes to the Philippians. Chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 1. Let me just read. Yes. Philippians chapter 2, not verse 1, verse 12 and 13. Paul writes to the Philippians and he says this, therefore, my beloved, he's writing to people like us, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. And then he gives a commandment to these people. Say, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There is a spiritual warfare. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Praise God for the means of grace, the exercise that He has given us, and examples in the Bible for us to do it. Someone came to me and said, Dr. Medeiros, how can I seek God as a believer? I said, very simple, my friend. When you want to seek someone, the first thing you go to that person to hear that person, to talk with that person. Is that not correct? Yes. How do you seek the Lord? You seek the Lord by going to Him to hear Him. You seek the Lord when you seek His Word to listen to Him. You seek the Lord when you talk with Him according to His Word, when you pray to Him. And God has given us this means. And Paul says, work out your salvation. And the idea is that for you to exercise, that you may, that your progress may see, may be manifest to all. Now, as you begin to work using the means of grace that the Lord has given us, listen to what He says. As you begin to do it, then you begin to experience your relationship with God, because He says in Philippians chapter 2, 12 and 13, when you do it, when you're working out, when you're desiring the pure milk of the Word, He says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. That's the way you're going to experience the reality of the presence and the power and the leading of God in our lives. It's serious business. But let me just give you some more things here from the Apostle Peter. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. Then there is an imperative, a command for us to desire the pure milk of the Word, the genuine milk of the Word. But listen what he says. If you would ask Peter, okay, Peter, give an example for us on desiring the Word of God. He used an illustration. Have you seen the illustration, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2? Listen, he says this. As newborn babes or like newborn babies. How should I desire that word? It says, like newborn babies. By the way, the word used here is not infants, not children. He's talking about newborn babies. Have you seen newborn babies, how they desire to be fed, to be nursed, even without speaking? They are just born. And you have experienced that. I have experienced that. And I know how they cry out loud. And you understand immediately. They cannot speak. They cannot say anything. But the moment they cry, if they're not sick, you know they want to be nursed. And they cry loud. Peter is using this illustration here. And they don't cry just for once a day. By the way, I'm screaming because I just grew up preaching the streets. I'm not mad at you. I hope that you get it. But when I go to these areas of Christian living and means of grace, I get excited. A newborn baby does not want to eat just once a day. They're going to cry, my friend, at least every 4 hours. Is it not true, Mama? Or some of them are mine at 2 hours, every 2 hours. And they cry loud because they want to be nursed. The illustration here is fantastic. My friends, is that the way you look every single day for the intake of God's word? Is that the way? If not, my friend, you have something to bring before the Lord and ask Him forgiveness. And begin to take advantage of this word. And by the way, have you realized what happened when a newborn baby is nursing? I have been impressed because when I saw my little ones the first time, I realized that I was so impressed with the intensity that they want that milk. The intensity that little baby wants. They cry. I was impressed with the frequency that they want that milk. But I was impressed also as Mama feeds them. Every time they cry, I could see how they could stop crying, and sometimes they began to sleep. In other words, satisfaction. It's not amazing that God tells you and give us a command for something that is good for us with all the promises, my friend. And we're just looking around as you don't have no hope in this world and you have His word. Someone says that His delight or her delight is in the word of the Lord, is in the law of the Lord, in the instruction of the Lord. And His law, He meditates day and night, and He will be like a plant, like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. In due season will give their fruit, and they will not wither. It's all promised in the Bible. For us, Psalm 19 is packed with promises. It gives wisdom to the simple. As it rejoices the heart, brings joy to the heart. In a living miserable life, when the Bible says, hear son, desire. Like newborn baby. And He says this. That you may grow thereby. Do you get the point here? In other words, none of us, don't worry, I did that. But I have been tested so many times just for the trip to Europe for this COVID that you cannot imagine, about 4 times for these past 3 weeks. So so that you may grow thereby. There is no way to grow in that relationship, in that joy with the Lord, without spending time in the means of grace, His Word. The point is that God wants us to grow. And praise that Him that He gave us the means by which we grow. And this means is His Word. I have a friend of mine once said that each one of us, dear brothers and sisters, every single day, we are always operating and working from two points of view. One is the human one, and the other one is the divine one. The more popular is the human. But the most fruitful is the divine one. Father, we are thankful to You that You have given us Your Word. We ask You, Lord, forgive us. Because probably, Lord, we don't know everybody here, but probably some of us, Lord, have stopped feeding themselves from the Word every single day, systematically, intensively, taking time at least, well, at least 30 minutes every single day, at least 30 minutes every single day, taking one book of the Bible and beginning slow motion prayer in slow motion, reading carefully, thinking, seeing, savoring, praying, and after a while, Lord, to stop and praise You. That we may do it individually, Lord. That we may do it as a family together with our children. And at least if we don't have children anymore in our house, with our spouses, that will be something for us individually as a family and as a congregation. And now, Lord, we are thankful to You also that You have provided for us these other means of grace that feed us. And that we now, Lord, go to participate, which is Your supper. But I pray, Lord, in the name of Christ, that Your Holy Spirit may bring such a conviction to each one of us this morning, that as we leave this place here, we're going to say, Lord, forgive me. Because I have found more delight and spend more time in things that are just joyless pleasures. When You have brought to me the joyful pleasures, which comes, Lord, from Your Word. And You said, Lord, also, if you have tasted, that the Lord is gracious. It is something for those who have experienced the grace of Your salvation and the blessing of Your salvation. Would You please, Lord, move us, each one of us today, and especially when we now approach Your table, O Lord, that You may make a commitment with You this morning, that as we leave here today, we're going to make a commitment, Lord, to spend more time every single day, set apart a place to pray and to feed ourselves in Your Word. And Your promise, Lord, is that You, O Father, who is in secret, will reward us. May it be for each one of us, and help us to teach to the young people as well, Lord, and help them to come to those devotional exercises. This means of grace by which we grow and by which you're going to experience the fruit of Your Spirit, Your love, and Your joy, and Your peace. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.